I find today's gospel kind of odd. And it's very simple. Today's Easter, the day of the resurrection, the day we want to hear about the encounter with Jesus, when they saw him face to face, when they touched him, when they realized he'd risen from the dead. What do we have instead? They look into an empty tomb and are confused. That's our gospel for today. And yet, in the mystery of what we celebrate and the chaos of the tomb, it teaches us something very valuable about today. Today, we remember the disciples didn't get it. They weren't there to witness the resurrection. They weren't there when Jesus rose. They didn't see him for an entire week. Next week, we'll read the passage about them encountering him. This week, we have to stay in wonder. We have to wander into the mystery. We have to wonder about the resurrection. And so the disciples teach us something very valuable. None of us were there 2,000 years ago. No one was there when Jesus rose from the dead. No one encountered him at the tomb. And for that reason, everyone had to wonder and wander into the mystery of the resurrection. We all had to experience it in a different way. For the entire 2,000 years of history, no one encountered him risen the way the disciples would in a week from now. But yet everyone somehow felt the power of the resurrection. The 3 billion people who claim to be Christians have felt the power of the resurrection. We can too. And that's our goal. Our goal is not just to believe it, to see it, but to feel that power in our lives too. And it starts with a very simple realization. We're all here. We all came. And the very fact of us coming means that God has spoken to us. He has spoken to the depths of our hearts. He has called us here. He has reminded us that today is something different. Today is something special. So very special, we took time out of our daily lives. We did something different, namely, come here, because we have already been touched by the reality of Jesus rising from the dead. We already feel it at the depths of our souls that something is different. Our goal is to listen. Listen to that small voice that's calling us out of the other things of the world to say, look, here I am. You can experience me risen from the dead and know for certain that I did rise from the dead. But we can go further than that too. Prayer. I always talk about prayer. But I want to talk about prayer in a different way. Prayer, when we actually believe we're doing it, is in reality, we are encountering God. That's what prayer is. It's our heart and mind going up to a God who actually exists, believing that something is there, believing that a God listens to our prayers. And instead of just talking about this stuff in not very useful language, let me give you an example. Do you remember last summer how dry and fiery it was? How smoky it became? How many acres burned? Bishop Vedder asked the entire diocese to pray for rain. And so for every weekend for several months, and many of you as well, joined in prayer. What happened? We had our wettest August on record. August. That's usually a very dry month for us. It was wet. Then what happened? Well, we stopped praying. And what happened now? It's all dry again. Now we're fearful of the summer once again. Today is an exception that we have quite a bit of snow, reminding us that even in the midst of our challenges, God calls to us. But what would happen if we joined together in prayer? We all agreed to guide, to work together, to pray for something we need, namely rain, or peace in the world, or any of the many number of things in our world right now. Imagine if we actually believed that God heard our prayers and joined with us in what we wanted, and we saw him, saw his action in our world. That would be a profound experience for us, the reality that God listened, that he heard our prayers, and he answered them. The thing that challenges us, however, is sometimes our prayers don't seem to be answered, or not answered the way we want them to. But that's also an encounter with a living God. He doesn't just do what we want. By not answering our prayers, we still remind ourselves he's there. He's listening, but is waiting for us. Waiting for us so that we actually realize he is there. Our hearts and minds are open to him. But we can go one step further even more. Let's look at our own lives. There's a saying out there, humans are meant to live, not exist. Humans are meant to live, not merely exist. How often do we live our lives as though we just function, we exist, we survive? We're constantly in survival mode, doing all these things just to make our lives function. We go to work so we have money, so that we can bring it home and do fun things. We do fun things so that we're required to go to work, so we can come back and do the vicious cycle. We clean our houses because we know they have to be clean. We run all our errands because we know they need to be done. So we do all these things in our lives, just to make sure we survive. What would it look like if we thrived? If we lived fully? If we lived in such a way that the power of the resurrection permeated each part of our lives and guided us to experience him again and again, overshadowing our darkness, bringing hope, bringing light to our world? Now, I'm guessing you're thinking that I'm asking for a huge functional change in your lives. I'm not. It's very simple. We still have to do all those things, but we do them ever so slightly differently. We invite God into it. We invite him into our errands. We invite him into our challenges. We invite him into our survival, that he can now take the helm and say, look at me. Look what I can do. I can make it easier for you. I can make your burdens light. I can make this fun and joyful. I can give you a hope that regardless of how weird things are, how bad they're going, it's going to be all right. Now we have lived. Now we can thrive because we're not worried about those things. We've given them over to God and done what we need to and just do them. We do them with a new hope, a new vigor. This is the power of the resurrection. This is to live. To live in such a way where the things of the world are not a challenge to us because God is with us. We feel his power in our lives. We feel the fact he is alive. And so, my brothers and sisters, I encourage you, take helm on your lives. Realize the power of the resurrection. The disciples didn't quite get it, but eventually they did, because they felt him, they experienced him, and we can too. We can feel the fact that Jesus is truly alive. We can experience it in our lives. It's not intangible, but very real, if we are willing to reach out and grasp it, if we're willing to let go of a few things so as to realize his power in our lives, his presence, turn to him and live fully, live freely, and live knowing that God is with us.